flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
High Noon, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. We've been taking your phone calls, 617-779-7937. We've talked a variety of topics on the show today. We're tearing off Super Bowl halftime shows. You can check those out at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. We were just talking about some of the introductory press conferences yesterday. Liam Cohen, it's not one for the history books, or is it?
We'll see. Only time will tell. Some of these guys have been able to recover from a bad intro presser. Other guys have, that was it.
Yeah.
They were done on the spot.
Yeah, it's true. Dan Campbell, Nick Sirianni bouncing back.
Yep.
Gerard Mayo, not so much.
No.
Among others.
Patricia, Adam Gase.
We also compared Belichick and Andy Reid, something we'll be doing each day this week at 11 o'clock, comparing the Patriots dynasty to the Chiefs. Today we did the head coaches, and a lot of talk about the Celtics in the first hour of the show. For more on the Super Bowl and the Patriots, their coaching staff, some of these moves they've been making this offseason, we welcome in Tommy Curran of NBC Sports Boston. How are we doing this week, Tom?
Top of the world. Top of the world.
Excellent.
Let's start with...
How are you, boys?
Oh, great. We're doing great. We're doing phenomenal. Talking Super Bowl halftime shows. Great to have the Chiefs and Eagles in the Super Bowl. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. But how do you think this coaching staff is coming together, Tom, from the coordinators to some of the more recent hires? How do you think that's coming together for Mike Vrabel?
I think it's probably, in his mind, coming together about as well as he could have hoped. And I think for Robert Kraft, it's probably coming together as well as he could have hoped. Because when we look at his remarks after dismissing Gerard Mayo, the main crisis that he thought confronted the coaching staff was a lack of experience, whether it be Mayo or all the way down the line, and putting people together who hadn't been together. Now, Vrabel's staff is somewhat unfamiliar in terms of all of the individuals working together previously, but the experience quotient is off the charts relative to last year. So I think it's coming together really well. I mean, obviously, there's guys who are tied down elsewhere that you're not going to get the pick of the litter of the entire league and say, I'm going to fashion this staff exactly as I want to. But I think it's coming together pretty well if you looked at the Patriots of 2024 and said they just weren't ready on Sundays.
Now, time will tell, but they're spending money on the coaching staff, which I definitely view as a positive. Does this mean they're also going to spend some real money on the roster, which I think many fans are more concerned about?
Sure. I mean, it's kind of a different bucket.
Right.
You have to spend on the players. I mean, you're bound to it by the CBA, and you have that amount of money. So who are the players you're going to chase? And if you're not going to chase them through free agency, which we've talked about a bunch of times now, I just don't think the number of players who hit free agency are as appealing as they used to be because all teams have so much more money against the cap to spend. Will you be innovative in trying to seek trades? I mean, you can compile the best coaching staff known to man, and if you don't have the players on Sunday to walk out and protect Drake May, then he's not going to be able to throw it to whatever receiver you were able to swing a trade for. So they have to spend the money. How are they going to spend it? Who are they going to spend it on? Is it going to be on Jonnu Smith and Nelson Agholor's? Or are they going to get it on, you know, guys like Matthew Judon and Hunter Henry? So that remains to be seen. But to me, they have to spend the money.
I'm curious about the way the coaching staff, the personalities can fit together. You know, last year, Tom, they had a bunch of first-timers, which we criticized. First-time GM, first-time head coach, first-time coordinators, effectively a first-time offensive coordinator, and Alex Van Pelt is a play caller. So the lack of experience was an issue. This is a very experienced coaching staff, but it is a lot of guys who have been there, done that as head coaches. How do those personalities mix, especially when a number of them have never coached together before?
I think there's going to have to be a tamping down of personal preferences. Like, McDaniel's been a head coach in two different locations. He's been in the league and coached in, I don't know how many, AFC championships and Super Bowls. He's got a way that he wants of doing things. But I'm sure that he's going to have to look at Mike Vrabel and say, what do you want, Mike? What do you want to see from me? How do you want me to work with Doug? Doug, what do you see from your offensive line if Doug Marrone is indeed the offensive line coach? What's your vision? And then meld them together. So I think when you have people who have great experience in doing something, they're going to bring their own visions to things. But if you're hired by someone else, like if you're hired someplace else to be a talk show host and somebody is above you, you're going to say, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to best serve you? I guess I think Vrabel kind of said that, you know, in service to whatever your team is trying to accomplish, you have to be in a mindset of servitude, I guess.
You know, with the Chiefs winning, going to another Super Bowl, all the comparisons have come up. And over the next 2 weeks, you know, there's plenty of time to talk about all the Patriots and Chiefs comparisons. I'm curious, in your mind, when you look at the three individuals on each side, you know, Andy Reid chasing Bill Belichick, Patrick Mahomes chasing Tom Brady, and even Travis Kelce chasing Rob Gronkowski, I certainly think all three of the Patriots are better right now than all three Chiefs. But in your mind, which debate is the closest? Which Kansas City Chief has the best argument against any of those Patriots?
I would probably say Reid and Belichick at this juncture, because Reid's done it in two different places. He didn't win a Super Bowl with Philadelphia, of course, but you know, he was there multiple times at the highest level, and Bill didn't do it in two places, but Bill was so friggin' good in the first place that he didn't leave for 24 years. So I would say probably Reid, because I think what Brady did is, and we talked about this a lot on BST last, he's got 7 Super Bowl rings, and he did it in two different places, and faced adversity after adversity, whether it be through roster, through drama on the team, reinvented himself, and then went to Tampa and raised a team that had previously and since been just another Jag team. So to me, I would say, you know, the Reid and Belichick comparison would probably be the most worthy. But again, Belichick on game day versus Reid on game day, Andy Reid in the 2000s was in early 2010s, too. I mean, you remember when Alex Smith and the Chiefs were against the Patriots in a, I think it was a divisional or a wild card round game. It's just complete clock mismanagement. Bill never really encountered that. So it's great stories, and it is great fodder, but I look at it and say the Patriots are pretty secure overall in their place.
What about Kelce and Gronk? You talked a lot about Reid and Belichick there. You talked a lot about Brady, Mahomes. What about Kelce and Gronk? Is that one even close in your mind?
Yeah, it is, just because of the production. And, you know, you see Kelce certainly losing a step now, and I think that the Gronk certainly lost a step at times. But I think the nature of Gronk is a blocker, and his, I was going to say indestructibility, but that was part, his destructibility was a big portion of his career as well. I just liked watching Gronk more than I like watching Kelce. I just thought he was a more spectacular player. But that doesn't diminish Kelce's resume at all. I mean, he's, to me, the continuous, as you guys are pointing out and bringing up, he is the one thread that runs through the way that Tyreek Hill wasn't able to, or anybody else who was on the Chiefs, you know, throughout this run. I mean, Kelce is, right, is he better than Anthony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates and, you know, Shannon Sharp and any other great tight end that we can think of? he certainly has to be way up in the conversation. John Mackey, Dave Casper, Russ Francis, they're all coming out now.
Kellen Winslow, Mike Ditka.
You got to include those guys. Watching the Philadelphia Eagles, Tom, literally run all the way to the Super Bowl, do you think that changes how teams view the running back, or is this more specifically Saquon Barkley is just so good?
No, I think it's Philly. I think the number of they have one of the best offensive line coaches in the league, maybe in league history, and his name is escaping me now, but he has been and will continue to be one of the best offensive line coaches that the league has seen, and they just have a litany of guys up front who are road graders. So, to me, if you don't have offensive linemen who can perform the way, you know, Lane Johnson and Jason Kelce and all the other guys who've been up front for the Eagles over the years can, then you're not going to be able to replicate it. You just look at, you know, Buffalo. I mean, they tried to do what the Eagles do, and they couldn't do it. And they're probably not well suited to it the way the Eagles are. The Eagles just roll that tush-push in, and it's not an issue. And to see that not work so often in a critical moment for the Buffalo Bills and them keep going to the well, it's, to me, you're borrowing something that's unique to what the Eagles do. So I just don't think every team can do that.
Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joins us every Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. We call it a Tommy Tuesday. You can check out his work on NBC
like
Sports Boston. That's very catchy. Hat tip to Keith for that one. Fill me in on this. Were you there for the entire Pete Carroll tenure in New England, Tom?
I certainly was.
You were there for the whole run. Okay, so
the whole run.
What do you think of Pete Carroll being in the NFL, back in the NFL, while Bill is at UNC?
I think there's an adaptability to Pete Carroll that teams don't look at Bill bringing at this point. And look, Pete's probably a bridge head coach, certainly a bridge head coach. And I think when you're bringing in Bill, you're not looking at somebody who views himself as a bridge head coach. So I think that would probably be the easiest differentiator between the two. If Bill comes in, he's going to be new broom sweeps clean. We're going to do it my way. The things that you guys used to do, well, they didn't work, so they're all done. And the Raiders certainly have to admit and acknowledge that, okay, what we've done here hasn't worked. We're going to change the way we're doing things. And Mark Davis spoke about that on Monday. But Bill is a shock to the system in a different way than Pete Carroll could ever imagine being, I think.
You know, looking at this head coaching cycle, do you have a favorite hire and a least favorite hire? And if the favorite hire is Vrabel, give me somebody other than Vrabel.
Fair. I think Ben Johnson to the Bears, and that's the easy one because he was the second most, I think, coveted head coach, but he's going to go someplace where there are offensive pieces in place, certainly with Caleb Williams, and you can be innovative. And his innovation to me was something that you look at, and that enthuses offensive players. That makes offensive players, you know, say, okay, well, if we can get this part down, then that will follow. So to me, watching Ben Johnson put together an offense for Caleb Williams with the pieces in place there is going to be fascinating to watch. And as I'm rolling through the Rolodex of players on their team, I think of a guy like Keenan Allen, but he's a free agent. So I'm actually going to segue to that. Those are the kinds of players, for the hell of it, I'm veering into free agency.
Oh, good. Yeah.
The Keenan Allens, the Cooper Kupses, the Khalil Max, I think those players would have real value to the Patriots on the free agent market. And you want lieutenants. That's what Bill had. That's what every good coach has. You have locker room lieutenants who understand your message and can disseminate it. Who are going to be those individuals for Mike Vrabel here? And can you do it with players who are you don't have background with and are bringing in from someplace else? That, to me, is going to be interesting to watch. I know I veered from the coaching conversation because it was, to me, it wasn't a very sexy group of coaches aside from Vrabel and Ben Johnson in my mind. I mean, look at Bobby Slowick. Oof. The guy was, yeesh, you know, the soup du jour last year. Is Bobby Slowick going to go somewhere? Now he's out of a job. So the offensive coordinator of the year sometimes doesn't really pan out.
No, I think that's fair. Not a good showing from our guy Liam Cohen. My guy, Liam Cohen, yesterday.
Yeah, that was a awkward.
That was a rough start. Do you think, Tom, Do you think we're getting the best matchup in the Super Bowl? Best team in the AFC, best team in the NFC, Chiefs and Eagles. Is this the best matchup we could have hoped for? Or were you hoping for somebody else to be here?
I think everybody wants to see something different. I think that Buffalo obviously is the sympathetic choice. And I like Josh Allen. I like the way he plays. I like the way he presents himself. I don't love McDermott, but he has fashioned the culture up there. He's not a great in-game coach. But I think Buffalo would have been a more fun matchup, certainly. And, you know, they beat Detroit. They beat Kansas City. I think they were a better team. I don't think the officiating was that egregious on Sunday to say they got hosed. But I would have rather seen them, and I probably would have rather seen Detroit. So if you gave me Buffalo and Detroit, I would have been delighted, you know, as opposed to this matchup.
Speaking of Buffalo, do they even hesitate to bring Sean McDermott back? Or do they think about, maybe we get another guy in here?
Who's the other guy? That's the thing. Who's the other guy? I just can't imagine.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all thinking the same name. Yeah.
I just don't see that as being an antidote. I just, having watched how it unfolded the last 5 years here, you know, post Brady, I just don't see that unfolding in a particular way that would be any executive would look at that or owner will look at that and say, we need to bring that in here.
No, you're right. I agree with you. I probably wouldn't do that either. I think they're an interesting case, though, because it's not a rebuild. Part of the post Brady Patriots issue was the lack of talent, which Bill was a big part of. But if you go in there, I mean, who's a better big game coach even now, Sean McDermott or Belichick? I think I'd probably take my chances with Belichick.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But, I mean, you talk about managing the talent, too.
Yeah.
And when Bill goes in, who is he going to look at on his roster and say, oh, we don't need that guy?
Josh Allen. I was going to say, probably based on the track record, probably Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. See you later.
Yeah. I don't need him.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Allen. I mean, you think about Joe Tooney and Shaq Mason. Both guys are still in their early 30s playing playoff-level football on an offensive line, and they've been gone for years from here. And, mm-hmm. and Bill said, yeah, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. So, to me, I think that the intermingling of Bill's personnel decisions and what he thinks he can accomplish with the players that he has sometimes is, and the fact that, oh, we can't do this against the cap. We have to build this part of the team. I don't know if it works the same way now. I'm sure it can, and he's the most brilliant in-game coach that you'd ever see because of an understanding of games and situational football, but I just don't see him being as attractive a proposition.
Mm-hmm. Tom, before we let you go, we were tearing off Super Bowl halftime shows earlier in the program today. You can check those out on the Odyssey app. Do you have a favorite Super Bowl halftime performance? Use whatever criteria you want. Do you have a favorite one? You've covered a lot of Super Bowls. What jumps out in your mind?
I think U2 was spine-tinglingly good because of all the history of what was going on in America at that time and the nature of the game itself. I think Prince was phenomenal, and I liked Pete Townsend's midriff when he went sliding across the stage.
Yeah,
all right, nice. Very good. Nice. Those are some very, very memorable ones. There was a couple of GOAT ones there, and also a safe old is how those worked out on the tiers. We would never refer to Tommy Curran that way. He joins us every week on a Tommy Tuesday. Tom, we appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
All right, thank you.
Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Check out his work there. Follow him on Twitter at Tom E. Curran. Was I getting my slides across the stage confused? I said Bruce Earl. I thought you got Bruce Crotch on one of those that maybe was NSFW.
It might have been for both.
Yeah, maybe it was Pete Townsend's midriff.
These guys move a little bit. They move and shake a little bit. Maybe the wardrobe doesn't fit like it used to as well.
No,
it's like, my lucky shirt. It's like, you can't wear that anymore.
Who among us doesn't feel that way?
Listen, hand up.
So interesting thing there.
NYSF.
Exactly, Courtney. Good stuff there from Curran. One thing we didn't ask you about that I considered is the Patriots contingent at the Super Bowl. Evan Lazar tweeted this out, Keefe. Full Patriots contingent in Mobile. Mike Vrabel.
Senior Bowl.
I'm sorry.
Did
what
you
did
say
I say?
Super Bowl?
I'm sorry. Senior Bowl is what
Senior
I meant to
Bowl,
say.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
What the hell are they doing? They get tickets to the game?
Sorry. Senior Bowl in Mobile.
Yeah.
Mike Vrabel, the new personnel executive, Ryan Cowden, and EVP of player personnel, Elliot Wolf. So, some good and bad here. Mixed bag. I like Vrabel's there. Your head coach should be there. I think Mayo was there last year. No, I'm sorry. Mayo didn't go.
No, he didn't go to anything last
year. Bill went a couple of years ago.
Yeah. That was at the East-West Shrine game, I thought.
Correct. But then Bill's also, like, skipped the combine mixed in there, which is
wild.
It's
all over the map.
So I'll be consistent. I want my coach at all these things. I always want my coach there. It's good that Vrabel's there. It's good that Cowden's there. It's good that Wolf is there.
Well, yeah, Wolf's going to be a part of something.
Hang on. Nick, what jumped out to you? Who's not there?
That Matt Groh was not there.
I mean, maybe he is. He's
maybe
not
he's
the tweet
going
from
North
Evan
Carolina,
Lazar.
For all we know.
Yeah,
he
true.
Might be leaving.
But
because you're bringing in Vrabel, who's going to have more say than Mayo, and you're bringing in Cowden, who's going to have more say probably than Groh, you're keeping Elliott Wolf. So what's Matt Groh's role even?
I don't know. I don't know if he's on staff, and maybe Lazar just didn't have room in the tweet to put the name in there.
That can happen.
I don't know, but... It's not like they're bringing everyone, as far as I can tell. And if Groh's there, then I'll stand down. But, yeah, I like that Vrabel's there. I like that the Patriots are there. You should be there. It's the draft. It's important. You want to hit this thing out of the park. I don't know that I want Elliott Wolf anywhere near that thing.
Listen, who's going to pick the seventh rounder this year? It's going to be Elliott Wolf. You're going to throw him a bone. Let him pick the seventh round guy. That's fine.
Okay. I keep getting told he's not going to have a role. And I really, really, really hope everyone's right about that. And yet... Vrabel shouts him out every chance he gets.
Vrabel does call him out a lot.
He's there in Mobile. It doesn't look like a guy who's going to have no power, but I hope I'm wrong. 617-779-7937. You can jump in on that. We have a Kiefer Madness on the way at 1245. We'll get back into Bill Belichick and Andy Reid as we compare elements of the Patriots dynasty versus the Chiefs dynasty all week long. We'll get to Kelsey and Gronk tomorrow, but you can weigh in on that. Plus, if it's going to be a long 2 weeks out there for Patriots fans, are you ready officially to root for Philadelphia? Or are there some of you out there that just can't bring yourselves to do that?
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with the listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But the Chiefs are going back because they are everything that the Patriots were with a freakazoid at quarterback. Tom Brady wasn't the freakazoid. He's the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Patrick, best player I've ever seen.
You got that, Keith? Freakazoid. Patrick Mahomes is a freakazoid.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, not so much.
I'd say avoid the noid because he ruins pizzas.
With a freakazoid at quarterback.
Freakazoid.
What was the noid? That was Domino's?
Yeah, yeah.
Way back in the
day. Oh, he'd ruin pizzas.
Yeah.
The whole premise was you had to avoid the noid.
I do kind of remember that, or I'm at least aware of that advertising campaign, but yeah.
I still remember it, though, so
yeah,
it's doing something right.
Working.
Yeah.
He's no Little Caesars pizza guy.
No, that guy's good. The way he would flip both pizzas and they'd land right on his spear, it's crazy.
I mean, the guy's a pro.
He's like also a magician, for God's sakes.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
So, I just played Orlovsky there because Mahomes is the best player I've ever seen.
With a freakazoid at quarterback.
Because he's a freakazoid, I just feel like that's worthwhile.
Yeah.
I wonder if Patriots fans can handle these 2 weeks because it's right there in your face. I know a lot of you claim you don't want to hear about it, but I know everybody has an opinion on the Patriots and the Chiefs. I had a buddy of mine. This is always good, Keith.
Yep. What did the buddy say?
You get reaching out. I was talking about the relationship between Bill and Brady, how there was tension and friction there.
A little bit. Yeah, sure.
With Reed and Mahomes, a buddy of mine said, real fans don't give a crap about coaching the quarterback and their relationship. It's different while the relationship between Reed and Mahomes, but no one cares about the relationship they have. I just think that
nobody cares.
You look at it and you go, well, that's what broke it up in New England. Uh-huh. And I don't see that breaking up anytime soon in Kansas City. Maybe I underestimate the egos, but do you think Reed's going to need to stand out there and take credit like Bill did? And that's going to get in the way of who gets paid what and who gets the credit for this. And Bill wants to prove he can win without Brady and Brady goes somewhere else and wins without him. I don't see that breaking apart the Chiefs. Maybe it will, but it doesn't look like it.
No,
even in the best of times with Bill and Brady, it was always tension and friction.
Yeah, true. It doesn't seem like that now, but you never know. There's also a reason why. I mean, how many coach-player relationships have lasted that long? Like, you need to hit it just right. I don't think just based on his birth certificate, it's not going to last as long. It can't. Even if Mahomes plays till he's 40, Andy Reid's not going to be coaching him till he's 40.
But it might not need to. People are like, oh, well, you know, it might not last for 20 years. It might not need to.
No, it might not need to, but I'm saying like part of the reason.
Like in 5 years, Mahomes might have passed Brady and the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, at this rate.
Yeah.
At this rate that he's going.
So you might not need the 20 years.
No, yeah, no. I know, but I guess it's just he might not have that long run and then it might not. Because it got worse for Brady and Bill is also my point.
So,
as the years go on, I'm trying to think. It's like Popovich and Tim Duncan and, like, how many other guys even had that experience?
It also helps that Mahomes has his $500 million contract already.
Yeah, I can't. Everyone's like, oh, he needs to play till he's 40 to be, like, as good as Brady was before. Like, why? Like, the numbers he can equal or pass a lot of these numbers. I don't know how many 40-year-old quarterbacks we're going to have maybe in part because of that. Like, guys making $500 million, even though they protect the quarterback, at some level, you got to be like, all right, I got to protect myself a little bit and move on.
So I just think it's going to be a difficult 2 weeks for Patriots fans because you're going to hear all this measuring up. Mahomes is the best I've ever seen. He's a freakazoid. Brady wasn't. Stephen A. said Mahomes is already the GOAT if he three-peats. Like, all these things are going to be right there. Even Curran said Reed and Belichick is close. You're going to hear about Kelce and Gronk. You're going to hear about all these debates.
Yep.
And I know you all have strong feelings on it, but it's going to be a difficult 2 weeks, which is why I think you're all rooting for Philly, but there does require an element of holding your nose for that.
So luckily to me, you have Saquon Barkley, who's very, very likable. They don't have, I don't think.
We both like Hurts, by the way, too. Did you hear Hart yesterday when we were driving home?
He doesn't like Hurts.
Hates Jalen Hurts. Finds him unlikable, which surprised me.
Based on what?
I don't know. He didn't really give.
Oh, he just says he hates him. Well, he said
he thinks he's very overrated, which I also disagree with.
He's definitely not overrated.
Right.
He's not getting like any credit. In fact, Sirianni just had to do a thing about that. They're like, oh, Hurts only wins because the team's good. And then Sirianni was like, what are you talking about?
Who even has him in the top 10 of quarterbacks?
Not many.
I don't think that many people even do. I think he's properly rated. I'd have him 10, 11, 12, something like that.
But you guys made two Super Bowls and like, well, that's just everybody around him. It's like, all right, we just went over it yesterday. 22 quarterbacks in the history of the NFL have been in two or more Super Bowls.
Right.
And he's young. Like, he's still going.
So we both like Jalen Hurts. Yeah. Maybe not everybody does. Barkley, I think, is everybody likes Saquon Barkley. Maybe not Giants fans so much.
I personally don't think they have any real villain-type players. Like, who do you really... I know you hate Cooper.
You're
DeGene.
Sleeping on those annoying guys on their defense.
Yeah, I guess, but they're like lower on the list. Like, if you're talking about like who are the star players on that team, it's Saquon, it's Hurts, it's AJ Brown, maybe Devontae Smith.
I don't think everybody likes AJ Brown.
Maybe not.
Yeah,
but he's also not like a lot of the other receivers. Like, people have a strong feeling about like a Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, yeah,
maybe
correct.
That's hard to compare.
Yeah, no, he's not that.
The off-field stuff, but. Yeah. You know, there are certain guys that you just don't like. I don't think people really hate A.J. Brown.
But the whole idea of you know, you got to hold your nose and root for Philly, like, that does seem easy now. I can't imagine there's any Patriots fans out there pulling for the Chiefs. I'd love to hear from you if you are.
No, you're not.
I think we're all holding our nose and rooting for the Eagles, but then you got to see good things happen to Philly sports fans, which is not... That's not something I want to see.
No, it's not ideal. But what would this be? The second Super Bowl in Eagles history?
Second win, yeah.
Second right. win.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so there's that. It's like, it's not a huge deal, right? Like, you can live with that, can't you?
Like, I don't like seeing rival fan bases happy. I don't like that.
But I put Philly below New York. Like, if this was say the Giants were good, or this roster was just on the Giants, that would be impossible.
No, it's a bigger...
be that uniform.
It's a bigger rivalry with New York, but when cities like Philly win...
No, I know, it's not ideal.
Yeah, you don't want to see the sun even shine there.
No.
It's like, they're so far beneath us.
But they have to do it. They have to do it this time around because Kansas City is, it's like, if you just take, you know, what Monday is going to feel like around here based on a Kansas City win versus a Philadelphia win, you'll take the Philadelphia win every time.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I but it's close.
I mean, the three-peat thing alone.
It is close, but yeah.
If this was like.
You think I have it wrong? It's not even close?
I don't think it's close.
I mean, I
personally don't.
I would root for the Eagles over the Chiefs for sure, but then again, I'm not happy about Philly winning.
No, that's why we needed Detroit or even like Buffalo just to knock them off.
What Curran said, Detroit and Buffalo would have been phenomenal. That would have been
an amazing Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think the country would have enjoyed that so much more. I also don't love like a rematch, like Kansas City, San Francisco, Kansas City, Philly. Like, give me something else.
Well, I like a good rematch. I don't know that I particularly feel like this is a great the Eagles are like a worthy.
Oh, I mean, like Celtics, Lakers, or
yeah, exactly.
Like, or something like that. I guess I would take.
Yeah, and even like I'd be more into if the Niners were better. I'd be more into Chiefs Niners again than Chiefs and Eagles.
Yeah.
Do you think we're getting the best two teams? I don't.
No,
I don't think Philly was better than Detroit.
I think Detroit was the best team in the NFC this year. I do think Kansas City was the best team. You know, there were times where it looked like it was Buffalo. Buffalo beat them head to head. But then you're like, all right, come playoff time. I mean, the Chiefs lost one real game all year. It was to Buffalo, and then they beat them when it mattered more. So they are the best team. Now, they weren't flashy. They didn't score a lot of points. It was like a weird, dominant team because Detroit lit up the scoreboard. They were one of the 15 best offenses in the history of the NFL, and they had a pretty good defense, although they got so many injuries on defense that by the end they really weren't a great defense. But – no, I thought they were better than Philly, but they never even got a chance to play them, you know, because they lost to freaking Washington, who they definitely should have beaten.
Yeah, the Commanders kind of screwed things up in retrospect because they
did.
They so didn't belong in that game
yeah.
that
That's where the whole debate, too, comes in. Like, people claim they like parody, but it's like, no, you really should like the dominant teams. And then you see the best football or the best basketball or the best whatever.
The Commanders beating the Lions kind of screwed everything up,
yeah,
in my estimation. Because now you're stuck with Philly in the Super Bowl against Kansas City. We'll all root for Philly over Kansas City, but I don't really want to. The Lions would have made it easy. Jaden Daniels and the Commanders screwed it up. That's actually what happened. Now that we're talking it out, that's what happened.
Blame Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, blame Jaden Daniels.
I think if the...
No. Blame Chad Ryland.
Oh, wow, this is deep.
For hitting the kick.
Yes.
In Denver.
Pat's could have had Jaden
Christmas Eve.
Daniels.
You could have had Jaden Daniels, then the Commanders don't have him, and now the whole thing isn't screwed up. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Or they have Drake May, they win the Super Bowl.
Good point, Nick. If the Commanders have Drake May, maybe they win the Super Bowl this year.
You got me there.
In your face.
All right.
No, I would say...
Nick's really been throwing me in the corner these last couple of days. He's really...
bodying you.
Really boxing me around.
It's incredible. No, I would say if the Chiefs were just going for, let's call it like a third and 5 years type of Super Bowl, like sort of like the Patriots, 14, 16, 18, you'd be rooting against them. But the fact that they're going for a Chief Pete or a three Chief,
a free Chief,
is what makes it not even up for debate. Like, sorry, you have to root for Philly because Kansas City is trying to not just add another Super Bowl, but they're trying to do something that the Patriots or any team has ever done before.
Three Chief. A Chief Peach.
I can't be sitting around watching a three Chief.
I honestly need a 30 for 30 on the whole end of that game. I need a 30 for 30 and just the Nance aspect.
Flag on the field. No flag. Oh, somebody told me there was a flag.
Flag on the field.
Yeah.
For Romo, so underrated is Romo saying Josh Allen should have time here and then he has three guys
blitz.
Ready to drag him.
Blitz!
I need a 30 for 30 on that.
Like,
I thought
they used their blitz. Like old backyard football. You got one blitz.
Hang on. They didn't count to seven Mississippi.
Get up. Get back there.
Let's get
a quick count.
Get to the phones. Bob's in Londonderry on the Patriots coaching staff. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, guys. I was just curious. I realize the changes in coaching is obviously a step in the right direction. Any fool can see that. But in reality, depending who they do get or don't get, do you really think things are going to be dramatically a lot better? Probably slightly improved, but I'm not sure you're going to see a whole lot of any type of Mahomes – even anything close to that for a long time. Just curious what you guys think.
I agree. I don't think they're going to get Patrick Mahomes. However, I do think they can. Well, let's do it free agent. Like, I could allow me to change my mind if they don't trade for anybody or sign anybody or they trade way down, they don't get any star guys. But, like, right now, knee jerk reaction, I think they double their wins.
Yeah.
I think they double their wins next year.
I think anything short of. Yeah.
They win eight games.
In a vacuum, eight wins. Yeah. Anything short of that would be very disappointing next year.
And if
you have Vrabel.
Yeah.
It's a professional coaching staff ready to go. You have the quarterback.
Full season. Fill it out.
You have an awful, awful schedule.
Yep.
Meaning a really good schedule if you want to beef up on your wins.
Trash bag teams.
Yeah, eight. I'd be disappointed with anything less than eight. Sitting here not knowing what it's officially going to look like, but for what I expect them to do and add to the team, eight's at least the floor. That's the
floor.
Also,
I would maybe compare them to any other current team than the Chiefs. Like, to be like, oh, they're not going to be like Patrick Mahomes. Like, all right, can they be the Chargers? Can they be the Bills? Can they be the – I mean, maybe the Bills is even high. But can they turn things around? Can they be playing meaningful games all next season? That's what I'm looking for.
I heard Arcan say this last night. And it doesn't mean you don't try in the meantime. But how far until the Patriots break into Mahomes, Burrow, Allen, Lamar? Like, when you really do think
about
that.
Honestly, it might be closer with Burrow than we think. They beat them this year, and the Bengals didn't even make the playoffs. So that's one team that maybe you can walk past.
Okay, but so if you think they're closer than I do, fine. And I didn't even love the way the Bengals played last year, and Burrow, I do think, gets overrated. But that's a tough, tough, tough group to break into.
I would say Cincinnati, to me, I know they have a Super Bowl appearance, which Lamar and Allen don't, but I think they're way more teetering. Yeah, to break into the Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City thing, like, that's really tough.
Well,
I think you're looking more at like a Justin Herbert type of situation where they took a step forward, they made the playoffs, but like, all right, like, where are you going
to
go?
No, and with Burrow, there's an easy way to make the Bengals worse and you better bring in T. Higgins. I mean, there's a real easy way to do that.
Yep.
Harry is in North Kingston. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, guys. Sure. I just wanted to touch on why I think I'm an Eagles fan. I'll preface with that. Why I think the Eagles are definitely going to win. So, to me, this Super Bowl is very similar to 52 in 2018 Eagles-Pats in that the narrative back then was that the Eagles had the superior roster, but the Pats had the coach and the quarterback, and I think that's what we very clearly see this year. And additionally, in 22, the line opened at Chiefs minus 1.5, and something like 95% of the money immediately came in on Eagles money line. This line opened at 1.5, Chiefs minus 1.5, and it's already moved to Chiefs minus 2. So that is music to my ears that the public likes the Chiefs right now. And I just feel confident. I mean, well, we have a better roster now than we did in 18 when we beat the Patriots.
Yeah, so but the Chiefs are a lot better than that Patriots team, too.
Do you think they're going to sit one of their best defensive players all game? Because that also is a big factor in the Eagles.
Sit down Chris Jones.
Then maybe Chris Jones doesn't play.
Yeah, well, like Trent McDuffie.
Trent McDuffie.
Yeah, Trent McDuffie.
That's a better analogy.
Yeah, you may have been at like a Rick Ross concert, so you're not going to play.
So I think there is a bit of a correlation to what he's saying. And he's an Eagles fan, so he's biased. And I you know, this is exactly what why I find it hard to root for Eagles fans. But when it comes to that Super Bowl, my personal commentary that week, Keith,
yeah,
and it shows how much I know.
Right.
My personal commentary was Brady will never lose to Nick Foles. I never even looked past that in that game. So maybe it's being talked about similarly. I give the Eagles way more of a chance in this Super Bowl, even knowing the Chiefs are going for a three-peat, than I thought going into Nick Foles versus Brady.
I don't know. I might put a PS5 on the Chiefs.
Okay, but I'm saying, what would you have put on the Patriots in that Super Bowl?
Two PS5s.
That's what I'm saying.
And
so you're more confident in the Eagles this go around than that one.
For sure.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm not picking the Eagles.
Yeah, no, I felt pretty good about the Pats.
I thought there was no chance they were losing to Nick Foles. I didn't even bother going past that.
You want a wild stat?
Yes.
Jay Cutta on Twitter.
Cutta from the challenge?
No, not him.
Jay Cutta.
In this century, every time the Super Bowl has been played in between the two teams. So the location.
Geographically. Okay.
Is in between the two teams.
I'm listening.
Are you following me?
Yeah.
With one team obviously traveling east, the other team traveling west.
Uh-huh.
The team traveling west has won every time.
Every time.
So the Patriots and the Rams that first time.
Yep.
Pats were traveling west to get to New Orleans. They won that game. 2003, Tampa Bay traveled west to San Diego. They won that game.
Wow.
Pittsburgh, both times they won the Super Bowl in 6 and 9, traveled west. Baltimore traveled west against New Orleans. The New England Patriots against the Seattle Seahawks had to travel west to Glendale. Seattle traveled east.
Huh.
New England against the Rams in Atlanta. They traveled west. The Rams traveled east. This year in New Orleans, Kansas City is going to have to travel east, Philadelphia west. If you follow the maps, it would tell you the Eagles would win. I was hoping the caller was going to go there. He didn't, so I had to sort of pick up the ball and run with it.
I was very embarrassed when Nick Foles beat Tom Brady. I feel very embarrassed for not knowing that.
Seriously.
Because that's...
Just get up. All you need is a compass, and he can tell you who's going to win the Super Bowl.
You already ruined a key.
I was just going to say the same exact thing. I feel like you burned a key already.
I'll bring it back.
Yeah.
That's true. Wouldn't
be the first time.
Radio, the audience changes all the time.
You can
bring that back. That's true. So there you go. That's the latest on Super Bowl 59. Meanwhile, it's Tuesday. It's almost 12:45, which means we have Kiefer Madness on the way next.
It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Kiefer, I think it is. Rich Kiefer.
Who is that?
How are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now? It's Kiefer Madness.
Where is Kiefer?
Hey, Kiefer, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Kiefer's a nice guy.
Okay.
Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness on WEEI.
I bring it.
He takes the spleens and spreads their fat to get an average 6-month temperature and precipitation forecast. Regina.
All right, here we go. It's time for Kiefer Madness on the Jones and Keefe Show, WEEI. And Jones, it's brought to you by Awaken 180. Start the new year risk-free with Awaken 180. No subscriptions, no hidden fees, just a proven plan to crush your goals. Have 20 to lose? You could reach that by February. Have more. Do the math. Then go to awaken180weightloss.com. We'll go to New York City.
Wow.
For this one. We have not gone to New York City
often. That never sleeps. This could be a good one.
I'm not a fan of New York. It's too much for me. Too much going on. Too many buildings.
Very overwhelming.
Very overwhelming.
You got to go with people who know what they're doing there.
Yes.
Or live there or something. You can't just go on your own.
Even then, I think I'm good. If I never go there ever again the rest of my life.
Manhattan, you're talking.
Anywhere.
Anywhere in any of the boroughs.
It's all too much. I don't want to go there ever again.
Okay.
I have zero interest in going there.
Huh.
Hopefully, God willing, I won't have to. All right, so let's find out what's going on.
A really bad smell has people packing the Brooklyn Botanic Garden. That's because the...
All right, a really bad smell has got the people going. It's got the people talking. What do you think that bad smell could be?
In a botanical garden?
Yeah.
Is that what she said?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe like a skunk's running around. Skunk broke loose.
Skunks. Could be skunks.
Yeah, yeah,
I didn't tell you this the other day. So you know how my backyard's like woodland critters?
Yeah.
Or coyotes.
My dog kill now.
Oh, man.
Coyotes. No, my dog had nothing to do with anything.
Coyotes, plural.
Dude, the sound they were making, they were ripping apart something or they were mating very aggressively. I don't know what it was.
How do you know it was coyotes?
They were going nuts.
That's a mating call.
So they were mating, I think.
That's a mating call.
Is that right? When I hear one, I know.
Yeah, yeah.
No, they were going nuts. And so it's like, oh my, like we, I had to turn the TV off or mute it. And I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
And then like 10 minutes goes by and you're like,
nice.
Oh, maybe they
go for those coyotes.
No, 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 no.
Nice.
No, no, no. It was very loud and then it was quiet, is my point.
Yep.
And then the howling began, which only could be like a wolf or a coyote.
It's all tracks. Yeah.
A lot of howling. So I had to check the next morning. I'm like, is there blood all over the snow outside?
Yeah.
There wasn't. So they cleaned up after themselves.
It's every leap year in the Jones household.
So you guys celebrate leap year that way? So it was pretty aggressive. So just keep your head on a swivel. I heard it is mating season for coyotes.
Okay, good.
So I'm like, I don't know if my dog would befriend them, if he would get involved in that.
Your dog might. Mine would be.
Your dog would be eating.
Mine would be
quickly.
Mincemeat. Yeah. Yeah.
No, my dog's probably the size of a coyote. My dog's not very big. He's like 40 pounds. He's fast. Coyotes are probably about that size. So would they make love to him? Would they befriend him? Would they try to kill him?
Charleston would just be an empty pile with the chip.
Chip laying there. They know not to take the chip with them. They're like, we're not gonna follow
That's
us
evidence.
Anywhere.
Yeah.
So anyway, no, it's not a skunk. Let's find out what it is.
A really bad smell has people packing the Brooklyn Botanic Garden. That's because the corpse flower has finally bloomed. Look.
The corpse flower.
The corpse flower.
I have read about these. I was unaware there was one in the Brooklyn Botanical Gardens.
This feels like one of those stories where you're like, how dumb are people? I'll tell you how dumb they are. There's a really bad smelling flower, and people line up to go smell it.
Well, are they line up to smell it or look at it? Is it a nice looking flower?
One time my buddy was picking me up from the airport, and he really had to go to the bathroom. This is going to be a little gross, but I'll keep it PG.
Number one.
No. The other one.
Got it.
The other one.
One plus one.
So he had like just, I don't know, poor guy had like a wrecked stomach. So he had to go into the bathroom. So he went into the bathroom and this is like the public airport bathroom.
Nice.
And he's just probably annihilating the bathroom. Some guy walked in to the bathroom. He like could see his feet in there. And then all of a sudden the guy walked out for a second and he said, "Yo, Derek, come smell this." So it was so bad.
They're like,
he had to go get
like,
a friend who legit was Derek. I'm not even making that part of it up. He went and got a Derek to come in there. So then another guy walked in just to smell.
Like, oh man,
these are the same guys that would be in line at the botanical gardens.
A bunch of Derek's
trying to check it out.
Which stay tuned for the keys. If you really want to get the full Derek
That's
experience.
True. That's a week from Friday.
Those lines. And Fox Eyes' Meredith Gorman takes us inside for a firsthand look at the rare plant and to see just how smelly it is.
It's a very rare occurrence, and it's happening right now in Brooklyn for the first time ever. A corpse flower has bloomed at the Brooklyn Botanic Garden, and folks are lining up to get a whiff of the smelly plant.
Smells trash-like to me. Yeah, definitely like a...
That's just Manhattan.
Rotting.
This is New York.
Vibe to the smell.
I had to go. I had to see it. They said, oh, it smells real bad. Yeah, like a corpse. Oh, let me go smell it.
Again, it's New York, so they went and they're like, actually smells fresh.
This is actually not bad.
Yeah.
So if I was like, hey, I have a warehouse... There's a legit dead body here.
Uh-huh.
Stinks.
Yeah.
You guys want to roll in here and smell it? You think these same idiots will go smell it? Or they're like, oh, because it's a flower that smells like a rotting corpse.
Yeah.
Now I need to give a whiff?
It's very rare. Did you hear that? It's rare, Keith.
You know what I would do?
It's not a common occurrence. It's rare.
I would go like Jodie Foster from Silence of the Lambs, put that little paint on my nose. Then you can't smell anything.
That's
go
true.
In there. You're all set.
We just go. I mean, is it that bad of a smell?
It smells like a corpse. Corpse flower. Yeah, yeah.
I never smelled a corpse. I don't know.
Oh, look, lucky you.
Yeah, those of us covering up my tracks.
Workers have named the plant Smelly It, and it bloomed open.
I'm sorry?
Smelly It.
Smelliot.
Smelliot.
Oh, that's a good name.
Elliot Wolf. Smelliot Wolf. Okay, give me the new name.
Yeah, flag that for the Wolfpack, actually. Yeah, good to know.
Yeah, Smelliot Wolf, if he has another bad draft.
And it bloomed open on Friday morning with gardeners waiting days and days to see when it would happen.
Every day, you know, it's getting closer and closer and closer. But today, as soon as I wasn't even in the room and I could smell it, I knew that it had happened overnight.
We knew it was.
It's in a room?
Yeah. Huh. It's in a room. People are lined up to go in there and give it a whiff.
I guess get I assumed it was outside.
It's get not. Sniffer on it.
You seen a picture of this flower?
Yeah. Well, how would you describe it? Go ahead. Paint the picture.
It's an anatomically correct flower is what I would say. Yeah.
It's like a Georgia O'Keeffe painting.
Close. Exactly. And that, you see like the kind of the spathe or the petal-like thing was pulling away a little bit and it was smelling. So we had a good sense that like that was a sign it was about to bloom.
Somebody was in there saying the ABCs.
Only 10 botanical gardens around the world have this specific type of corpse flower, which is from Sumatra, Indonesia. And its blooming pattern is even more rare and can take between a few years to over a decade to open. The plant lives in the garden's aquatic house, and it's only expected to stay in bloom for 1 to 2 days this weekend. Now, if you are planning to check out the plant in person, you better get here soon because word is spreading and the line is getting long. And also, no word yet on just how long this plant will stay in bloom for, but it won't be more than likely a couple of days. Reporting from Brooklyn, I'm Meredith Gorman, Fox 5 News.
Shyamalan twist, Meredith Gorman, former Nesson, in New York.
I actually was going to bring that
up. That was her story.
I was going to bring that up. That is the same Meredith Gorman.
Same Meredith Gorman. She's in New York City now.
How about that? Reporting on
smelly flowers. Not bad. Hey, good stuff.
Yeah, she said,
good
you know
intel
what?
In there.
Workers have named the plant Smelliot.
It's really
good stuff, Meredith. Thank
really
you.
Really how bad this local sports scene has got that local sports reporters are leaving to report on.
There you guys want to talk about Aaron Glenn?
Yeah.
No.
Nah, no.
No. I'll go head down to the botanical gardens. They got a flower there. It smells like a rotting corpse. Get in there.
I was shocked at the visual of those flowers. It's shocking. I'm happy I looked that up.
It's not bad, is it?
Mid-segment. No, it's something. No,
that's not bad.
Okay.
Really bad smell has people packing the Brooklyn Botanic Garden. That's because...
Stinks.
Not great.
No.
That's the madness. Kiefer Madness every Tuesday, 12:45 here on Jones and Keefe. We'll go back to a stinky basketball team, as it were.
Oh boy.
The Boston Celtics, that's next.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.